Some of you know this, but some of you don't. I was invited to preach down in Georgia. I get invited periodically to travel around and preach different places. And one of the places I preached was a big church down in Georgia. And a couple days before we had the service, they had some other things going on. But I was down there, and they invited me to go ahead and go skeet shooting. And now, I don't know if you know much about me, but I grew up in the project of Baltimore City. We don't have a whole lot of skeet shooting going on. And so I was like, yeah, sure, how hard could it be? You know, I know how to hold a gun, right? And so we get out there, and I'm watching the whole time, and I'm just missing everything. Like, it's ridiculous, and I'm feeling terrible because I'm wasting this guy's skeet. Like, he bought this stuff out there, and it's like a $100 box of clay pigeons or whatever, and he's a pull, just boom, just hitting the ground. Like, nothing's happening because I'm wasting his bullets, I'm wasting his skeet. And we get through about 40 minutes of this. It was about 45, 50 minutes long. About 40 minutes of me just terribly. This guy's so nice, but I'm just missing everything. He's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, that'd have been nice if you asked me 30 minutes ago." But here's the deal: what I'm just looking through the circle at the end of the gun. And he goes, "Are you lining up that circle with the little ridge at the beginning of the gun?" I'm like, "Oh no, I was just looking at the circle at the end of the gun." And he's like, "That's not how guns work." And wouldn't you know it, I go out there and I start to line up. And I'm like, "Oh, there is a ridge there. And oh, that's the circle. Ah, that's what makes alignment happen." And so then I would hit a few and miss a few. But at least I felt good that I could do it. There are two ways to hit a target in life. Two ways to hit a target. You can either aim for a target that already exists, steady your hand, and fire your weapon to hit the target. Or you can shoot anywhere you want to, run up to the hole and circle it and say, "There was the target that I was going for." A lot of us in life, we do exactly that. A lot of us in life, we kind of just go about life maybe blindly, and we just basically fire at will at whatever's going on. And then we try to justify ourselves to just say, "Well, it all worked out. Here's my circle. Here's how I won." And God looks and says, "You know, life doesn't have to be that way." I'm the manual writer. You know, God looks at you and says, "Hey, I know you. Relax. I know you. I know your strengths. I know your weaknesses. I know what you're about. I know when you skinned your knee as a kid. I know you, and I have a way for you to live your life hitting the target. You using your gifts, using your strengths, leaning into what I have for you, and." Feeling a sense of accomplishment and joy because you're fully utilizing everything that you're about. You see, many of us, we go through life and we're hoping that we get it right and we stumble and trip. But God says, you know, there's a principle throughout Scripture that He gives us. There's a principle that He gives us to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to set my sights on the things of God. I'm going to set my sights, and I'm going to put the first thing out there to make sure that everything else behind it comes. This principle that I want to teach over the next month or so is called the principle of first fruits. First fruits. You see, what first fruits are throughout the Bible, first fruits are a deposit on our destiny. First fruits are a deposit on our destiny. And I don't know if you know it, but that's good right there. That's good preaching. 30 seconds in. So here's the thing. First fruits are a deposit on our destiny. Because God looks and says, "Listen, I'm going to give you a principle. I'm going to give you a principle. When I give you stuff, when I give you children, when I give you a good crop out in the field, when I bring anything into your hands, I'm going to give you a principle called first fruits." And that's you taking the first of that, the primo, the best, and I want you to set it aside for my glory. Because if you will set aside for my glory, then you're going to align everything else behind it toward my glory. But if you go out and you haphazardly just kind of waste the beginning, there's really no good intention with what's to follow. And many of us find ourselves in this way where we're not putting first fruits up with our destiny. We're not setting it out for us to be able to be successful. First fruits are a deposit on our destiny. You see, first fruits are how God's order becomes our order. First fruits are how God's order become order. how God's way becomes our way, how God's heart becomes our heart, by setting aside a first. Now, this was happening in the Old Testament. This was happening in the Old Testament when it came to first children. Set aside your firstborn. Bring your firstborn into the temple to consecrate for my glory. Why just the firstborn? Well, it's not just the firstborn. It's that the Lord said, the first time you're a parent, go and work really hard the first time out of the gate at setting this son or daughter, setting this child up for success in the kingdom of God. Go do it right the first one. Why? Because it'll put in alignment how you handle the second and the third. Now, by the fourth, you may not even care. But the first fruits are a way to establish precedent. A way to establish precedent. The first fruits of a harvest in a field, there would be a grain offering that God commanded of His people in the Old Testament. And He said, you know what? I want you to take the first harvest. Don't even touch the harvest for 3 years. But then when you take the first harvest out of the field, I want you to bring it as a grain offering to God. And they would round up that very first harvest. Can you imagine this? Harvesting a crop for 4 years on new land. 4 years, 3 years, God said, hey, just let the thing die. It's new land, let the thing die. Now, we understand later that in agriculture, that's good because it's fermenting the soil. It's making the soil better because there wasn't any crop on it before. And so part of God giving instruction to the people to say, hey, let it die for 3 years. I could just imagine the people go, what are you, crazy? We need the food. But God said, no. I want this land to produce and produce and produce and produce. And so what you have to do is you have to hold off matters of the urgent for the long range goal, for the soil to be better. You have to do something different. And so that's what God told him to do. And then he said, when you take up your first offering, I want you to bring it before me as a presentation. I want you to bring it before me. And what would happen is the church at that point would take those and be able to distribute and help other people. But for the person who was doing the farming, it was this idea that God, this is dedicated to you. God, if it didn't rain at the right time, if you didn't give me strength in my bones to get out and work, if you didn't allow me to have the faculties in my mind to know what to do, Lord, none of this would even happen. And so the first fruit was to be able to say, God, this is yours. This is yours. And so the first fruits align up everything behind it. And so today what I want to do is I want to look through a passage of Scripture with you. And I'm just going to click on various first fruits that are exhibited in the Scripture. Because today I'm not trying to get to the hardcore down, drill down detail. What I'm trying to get today is for you to walk out of this room and say, okay, wow, the principle is all over the place. The principle's in the Scripture and it's real. And then you take time this week and you say, Lord, show me through your Scripture. Where are the first fruits? Go home today. Google first fruits in the Bible. Go look and see if this practice is not true. And then as we get into future weeks, I want to drill down and challenge us to put our first fruits on the table for God. To say, you know what, that is something I want. I do want to take a part of my life, the first part, and give it to God before I deal with anything else. You see, because most of us, we're living in the matters of the urgent instead of the matters of the kingdom. Most of us, we're just trying to make things work and plug holes in our boat, and we're not stepping back and say, you know what, Lord, I want to align my life to what you want for me and my family. I want to align my life for what you want for me and my family. And so that's what I want us to do, is that over the course of this next month, as we approach Thanksgiving, I want us to approach Thanksgiving in a way to say, Lord, Thanksgiving was a meal that these people would sit down and they would celebrate the fact that there was a harvest coming in, and they would share and they would exchange food and ideas and recipes, literally, and they would get to know one another, have fellowship with their brother. But it was sacrifice on behalf of something greater than the immediate. Many of us are run by the tyranny of the urgent. And the tyranny of the urgent leaves you running like a hamster on a wheel. The tyranny of the urgent does not set up your life for a good trajectory. The tyranny of the urgent does not give God the very first so that everything coming from behind it matches up with God's glory. The tyranny of the urgent is just what is in front of me today. When I woke up today, I got to make the best decision today. God says, no. First fruits, you determine where it all goes. Dave Ramsey in budgeting has a similar principle that comes from first fruit principle. But he says, is that are you telling your money where to go? Or is your money telling you where you can go? You see, first fruits is a principle that says, no, from the very beginning, I'm giving. From the very beginning of my time this week, have I marked out time for God? From the very, very beginning of my resources, have I given to the Lord and His work? From the very beginning of my relationships, is my relationship with Jesus most important this week? From the very beginning, am I going to be a kingdom person or am I going to be a person of the flesh? You see, I truly believe what's happening in our country in particular is that in our country, the Christians are tough to tell from the rest of the world in how we deal with things. And I got news for you. Even the greatest denominations in America are shrinking right now. But it's not because, I don't really believe it's because less people are open to faith. I mean, look around the room. We have people under 20 and in their 20s that are here. I don't believe it's that. What I really believe is it's the people who used to fake it are getting more comfortable to say, I don't have to fake it anymore. I don't really care about God. And so the numbers are starting to reflect reality. But for those of us that are kingdom-minded, what we should be doing is setting our sights on first fruits. Lord, you have the first of my life. You have the first of this family. You have the first of our time. You have the first of our talents. You have the first of our energy. You have the first of our resources. You have the first, Lord. Like, I'm a kingdom person. I'm all in. Jesus, you died for me to give me brand new life. You promised me a life that's abundant, and I'm all in. And so the world looks and they say, when I scratch and sniff, I don't see a lot of first fruits. And so for us, today, what I hope that over this next few weeks, I'll be able to show you in Scripture that the Christ follower should be living by first fruits. Don't let your week tell you where your time goes. Don't let your resources tell you where they're going to go. Don't let other people's commitments tell you where. Don't let bad relationships tell you how you're going to live. No. You put all the other things first in the kingdom of God. What's the Scripture? Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness. And all these what? Things will be added to you. The principle of first fruits. What are you setting aside first? Today, I'm going to show you six things in one passage of Scripture, 12 verses, that are boom, 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 first fruit, first fruit, first fruit. I just want to get down today that this is a principle of God and that I've got to get in order. I have to get in order. You have to get in order. That are we going to be people of heaven or are we going to be people of earth? Are we going to be people of the Spirit or are we going to be people of the flesh? And so you and I have to decide which way are we going to go about things. By the way, already, I hope you understand this, you're already doing first fruits. But it may not be to the kingdom. You're already practicing first fruits. You before the paycheck comes in, you're already thinking about the first thing you want to put in your body or the material that you want to have. With your time, you're already doing first fruits. You're either laying on the couch or you're helping your neighbor. For relationships, you're either working hard to build bridges or telling everybody about the walls that you're putting up. You're already practicing first fruit. I desire for God to compel every single one of us to determine that the rest of our lives, our first fruits are going to the kingdom. And let's see what God would do. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 is where we'll be today. Proverbs chapter 3. It's at the front, probably third of your Bible. Just flip on through my book, my Bible. It's page 480. On yours, it's probably not. But there you go. Proverbs chapter 3. It'll be up above me. If you do not have a copy of God's Word in your hand, you can also use your phone. Feel free with the Bible app, and we'll go that way. Proverbs chapter 3. Are you ready? Say, yep. Let's dive in. The first couple verses here. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will add to you. Do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace will add to you. You see, principle of first fruits. He says, Lord, my son, don't forget my teaching. Don't neglect my teaching. Don't neglect the Scriptures. Don't neglect seeking me out. Don't neglect that. Let your heart keep commandments. Let your heart keep the commandments of God. First fruits. Do this. Then look at the promise. Length of days and years of life and peace will be added to you. Deposit God's precepts, and your destiny is God's peace. Deposit God's precepts into your life. And the destiny, remember, first fruits are a deposit on your destiny. What are you putting forward so that you have a return? Just like an investment, what are you putting forward so that you could have a return? And those of us that have 401ks or mutual funds or whatever, you understand the principle. I've got to watch where I'm putting it. I've got to look at the stock. I've got to look at where I'm placing my hope and faith and trust. I've got to look at the company. I have to understand what I'm putting in so that I can look and see what kind of return I hope to yield. Over and over and over in Scripture is this principle of first fruits. Deposit God's precepts, His teaching, His commandments over your life. Don't neglect that stuff so that you enjoy the blessing, years of life and peace. Precepts for peace. Let's look at the second one. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. See this deposit? Let not steadfast love and faithfulness. And then verse 4. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, so that you'll find favor. So deposit faithfulness, and your destiny is favor. Faithfulness for favor. It's a first fruit. You say, Lord, here's the deal. I want people at my job to understand that I'm a good worker and that I care and that I care about people. And the Lord says, you know what? How about be faithful? Make your first fruit faithfulness, and I'll allow the favor of God to come around you. I'll allow people to see that you're one of mine. If you're faithful to me, if you're faithful at your job, if you're not cutting corners, if you do care about people, deposit faithfulness and steadfast love. Steadfast love is simply like a stubborn love. Like, I'm not relenting. I'm going to love anyway. I'm going to care anyway. I'm going to be generous anyway. And so the Lord says, if you will deposit, if you will make your first fruit faithfulness and steadfast love, number one, I from heaven will give you favor. I will look upon that and I'll say, you know what? As a child of mine, I'm going to make easy your way. I'm going to make your path straight. I'm going to open things up for you. But also people around you, if you are faithful, if you have steadfast love, then people around you are going to see it. And the favor not only will come from heaven, the favor comes from other people. People start to see, wow, that person is different. There's a spirit that is different about them. Deposit faithfulness and your destiny is favor. When you look through the Bible, there are so many that had to have long-suffering, faithfulness, steadfast love. You look at Gideon. Gideon had to cut his army down from thousands to just a few hundred. He was faithful. He trusted in God even when the outcome didn't look like it was going his way. Steadfast love. That's a deposit that he makes. And then God sees his victory. You look at the marching around the walls of Jericho. Can you imagine how idiot they were getting called names? They were just had to be ridiculous. Look at those fools out there protesting, marching and marching and marching. But what if they stop one or two laps shy? They get to seven, the walls come down. You see, these pictures are in the Bible to give us an understanding that faithfulness, steadfast love, determination, these things pay off. Have your first fruits be set in those. So the Scripture says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart. In that day, what you bound around your neck was your inheritance. You remember when Mary broke the vase and she washed Jesus' feet with her hair? Do you remember that? Where did she have it? She had it in a locket around her neck. And so the Scripture is saying, don't let it get far from you. Let it rest there right on your heart. A determination of faithfulness to walk with God. That's the deposit that you make for your destiny. Thirdly, this is one when I was 19 years old, I met my wife, Christy, but we met at first through America Online, which for those of you under 35, that used to be a relevant company on the internet. And so here, the way we met, and a lot of people ask, that's a common thing, like, how'd you guys meet? The way we met was, basically, I was coming home from college. I had been at a Christian college for 365 days, and my roommate actually woke up and realized how weird it was, but we had never been apart one day for literally 365 days. And so when we realized this anniversary was coming up, we weren't real proud of it, and we were like, this is weird. And so I would literally, like, to help each other out, accountability, I would go to his family when he went to visit, and then he would come home for me. And so we just never, we were never apart, literally for a year. And we were like, that's weird. And so we decided, like, we're going to go home and take this particular break. So I got on the internet, because the internet was new at the time. I mean, it was like dial up and somebody pick up the phone in your house, and then the whole internet goes out, and it's like, ah! But, sorry. Whew. So that was what that's what was happening. And so I had looked in Maryland. I said, I looked around for groups of people that were, had my age, and their hobby was Christianity, because it wasn't really like religion. It was like just a few parameters. And one of them was hobby, so I was like Christian. And so I found like 16 people in the Baltimore metro area about my age that were online telling, hey, I'm a Christian. So I wrote them all. I was like, guys and girls, I was like, hey, I'm coming home, but I've been in a Christian school, and if I come home, I know myself, I'm going to go ahead and do something stupid and hang out with my old friends, and I don't want that. Does anybody know where people our age hang out? And so about five people wrote back. One of them was this person named Chris for Jesus. Chris for Jesus. And so Chris for Jesus was Christy for Jesus, and I was like, that's sexy. I was like, I'm all about that. So we connected. My son is crying right now. So we connected, and very quickly, soon after we started to talk, one of the things we asked, because we're both Christians, I just asked, like, where do you draw faith from? And so she pointed to this passage we'll read right now, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. You see the deposit? You see the first fruit? Do this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. How many of your ways? All of them. In everything, you acknowledge Him. And then here's what's to follow. And He will make straight your paths. He will make your paths straight. I don't know about you, but I look back in my life and I don't have very many straight paths. I've got a lot of things that I did not trust God in. I did not pray and ask the Lord to bless. I did not ask the Lord for His guidance. I did not seek Him with everything I had. And I look back and I go, wow, I spent time in the wilderness that I might not have had to spend there if I would have sought God first. But He says, trust, I'll make your path straight. Deposit your confusion, and your destiny is clarity. Deposit your confusion, your destiny is clarity. See, this is first fruits, guys. This is us looking to Scripture and say, Lord, what do you want of us? And I'll make a deposit. I'm going to take the first part. I'm going to take the first bit of confusion, and I'm going to give it to you. Because you bring clarity when I give confusion. I'm aligning my will with the Lord's will. I'm allowing God to have say. I'm allowing my resources to go for Him and His kingdom. I'm allowing my time, my energy. I'm allowing my relationships to be focused on Him first. And when I do that, everything else will follow. Remember, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. The picture of first fruits. Where do you put your priorities? I'm going to read just a few more and tick them off as we close, because I think you're getting the principle. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So here's the deposit. Turn away from evil. Fear the Lord. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear God. Turn away from the evil that's in your life. That's the deposit you make. Lord, I'm not going to be arrogant about knowing everything. I'm not going to be wise in my own eyes. I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to turn away when I see evil. That's the deposit I'm making. That's the promise I'm making to God. So you deposit your pride, and your destiny is peace. You deposit your pride, and your destiny is peace. This is lining up the arrow, lining up the shotgun. It's being able to say, Lord, this is what I want out of my life. I'm going to deposit my pride. And you promise peace. Honor the Lord. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. How much of your produce? Oh, with the first fruits of all of it. So understanding that God, you've gave us everything. And then it says this, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Here's the deal. We deposit our resources and the destiny is God's provision. So you deposit what you have and your destiny is God's provision. God looks and says, you know what? Here's the deal. I want you to trust me with everything you put forward. I want you to trust me with the stuff that I've given you. I want you to trust me with the first of that, and I'll take care of you on the back end. You know why a lot of us don't trust God with our resources? Truthfully, at the end of the day, we're not sure that God's going to take care of us. At the end of the day, we say, no. I look at it, it will never work out. If I'm faithful to God with my resources, it'll never work out. If I'm faithful to God with tithing, it'll never work out. But the question that you and I always have to have in our first fruits thought, can God do more with 90% than I can do with 100? Can God do more with 90% of my resources fully committed to Him than I could do completely on my own apart from Him? When you deposit your first fruits, when you say, Lord, I want you to use this, what it forces you to do is to evaluate everything else in your care underneath of the will of God. So God, what would you have me to do with the rest of this? What would you have me to do with what I have left over? And so in this series, I want to talk to you about first fruits and the practice of trusting God with a little and allowing Him to manage the rest, allowing Him to oversee the rest. Because I got news for you, church, when I was in college or even before and I first started to practice tithing and giving my first fruits to God, initially it was terrible because I was like, man, I can't give $5 up. I only made 50. Like, no way. And I was a teenager and I was, there's no way. I don't have enough. I want stuff. I want money. Lots and lots of money. So as a teen, it was like a big deal. But then here's what was crazy. I got out of college and people actually started to give me a paycheck. And that was a bigger deal. And the more God's blessed our family, the more I would look at our taxes at the end of the year and be like, wow. I went from I could buy a bicycle with my first tithe check at the end of the year. I could buy a used beat up car once I got out of college with my tithe. And then now I could practically pay for a new car by how much I give away to the Lord, not just through Captivate, but also through other things that we do in our family. And so when you look at it, it never gets easier. It never gets easier. People all the time believe, oh, one day when it gets more and I get more, it'll get easier. No, it won't. Because if you make more, the check you give to God is bigger. First fruits. So he says, listen, give me the first fruits. I'll take care of everything else. Verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves those he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. Deposit rebellion from God. And your destiny is reunion with God. Deposit your rebellion from God, and your destiny is reunion with God. Rebellion and reunion. Which one do we choose every day? Every day in our decisions, in our relationships, are we about rebellion or are we about reunion? Every day in our resources, are we about rebellion with how we handle our resources? Or are we about reuniting the resources that God gave? We give part back to reunite. I heard a story years ago, and it was a local church that was growing so much, and there was an empty parking lot next to them. And this empty parking lot was an old car dealer, and the car dealer had long set, you know, quit selling the cars and stuff. And so the church went next door, and they said, "Hey, can we use your lot on Sundays?" And the owner of the car lot said, "Sure, he's, you know, glad to do that." And so they made a deal. But he said this, he said, I want you to close down one Sunday a year. You can't use my lot one Sunday a year. And so the pastor's thinking, okay, they must have something going on there, and that's cool. And so for the first year, he comes and he's closed down. People are parking in the grass. Members are complaining. And the pastor's like, man, that's odd. Nothing went on today. The next year, same thing. Nothing happened at this car lot. It was just empty. Third year, now the pastor's starting to feel like, man, what's going on here? This guy's real nice, but he keeps shutting it down once in a while. And he goes over and he talks to the car lot owner and he says, sir, we don't mean any disrespect, but we notice that when you shut down the lot, we don't really get benefit of it. And it doesn't really, we can't really see what the good is in doing that. And the car lot owner said, I'm not asking you for a day a year because I want to do anything in particular. I'm shutting it down a day a year so that your members know who the lot belongs to. You see, one of the greatest reasons that we give of our time, our energy, our talent, our relational resources is so that we can dedicate to God everything that belongs to Him. So Lord, I'm giving you a portion to remember that all of it was yours. You didn't have to save me. You didn't have to forgive me. You didn't have to heal me. You didn't have to get me out of that bad circumstance. You didn't have to give me a good job. You didn't have to give me good people that love me. You didn't have to. You didn't have to, but you did. And so part of me putting my first fruits towards you is so that the rest of my life lines up with you. And so, Lord, I want to be a first fruits believer. I want to be first fruits in all that I do. In my relationship, I want to have a relationship with you first. In my time, I want to set aside time for you first. In my talents, I want to let my talents be used for your glory first. And my resources, Lord, you gave them all to me anyway. And I'm going to believe that if I give some back for your kingdom purposes around the world, Lord, you'll take care of me. Is it rebellion or reunion? Your first fruits living says, Lord, I'm putting you first. And I'm going to trust that your name is the one that signs all my checks. I'll tell you this, church. I'm 38 right now. And I've been in practically full-time ministry since I was 19. So almost 20 years. And I promise you, I have never had a person who legitimately lived as a first fruits believer ever come to me and tell me that God failed them. For 20 years. Now, I'm not talking somebody that's just like, hey, I threw 10 bucks in Sunday, didn't get blessed. It's like, it's not a slot machine, bro. It's a pattern and practice of living. But I've never had anybody that I would look at and say, you know what, Lord, they are faithful. They are first fruits believers. You have control over their lives. They present everything to you. I've never had one sit down with me and say, we've honored God and He failed us. Not once. My call to you is that God is everything or God is nothing. And in your life, let's make God everything. And I don't mean just with money. This series, I'm going to talk about lots of other first fruits. I mean, set your day with God. Start your day with Him. Look at your calendar and see, do I have any margin in my week this week? Am I so busy rushing from class to meeting to work? How about my family? Am I going to set some first fruits for my family? Or did they get the leftovers? So this month, I hope to open up Scripture and compel each of us to be first fruits believers. To say, Jesus, you'll take care of me if I give my best and my first to you and your purpose.